Today is Thursday, the 2nd of December 2004. Yesterday, we gave an opening talk for the opening of the 60-day special Vipassana retreat at the center, at which Searo just gave the opening talk briefly. There's going to be everyday Dhamma talk from 3 to 4. To help all the yogis. We have these three kinds of yogis here. Yogis who have already practiced sati prana, vipassana bhavana. That is experienced yogis. The second kind is new yogis who just started the meditation. And thirdly, we have yogis who have practiced other methods other than Satipatthana Bhavana. So today we are going to talk about four guardian meditations known as Chaturvarga Bhavana. In order that yogis will be able to practice without any disturbances, and will be able to practice in a peaceful manner. It may take one day, or more than one day, if one day is not enough. This kind of meditation, known as the Four Guardian Meditations, or Chaturvarga Bhavana, have been practiced in old days in this country. It is a traditional practice. So, for one thing, we wish to maintain this tradition in the practice of Satipatthana Vipassana Bhavana. And another reason is to be free from any disturbances in the course of the practice and be able to practice in peace. Hence, these Chaturvarga Bhavana, the Four Guardian Meditations. They are namely a meditation on the quality of the Buddha. You can choose one of the qualities of the Buddha in order to remember or meditate on the quality of the Buddha. That is the first thing. The second thing is the practice of metta, loving kindness, wishing for the welfare of others. Thirdly, we have meditation on impurities, known as Asubha Bhavana, meditating on the 32 parts of the body, beginning with the hair of the head, hair of the body, and so on, as impurities. And fourthly, we have mindfulness of death, Maranasati. Such are the four kinds of meditation as a protection for our practice, in our practice, so that yogis will be able to practice free from harm and in peace. Hence, this is known as Chaturvarga, four guardian meditations. First of all, out of these four guardian meditations, we wish to talk about the first one, namely Buddha Anusati, meditation or recollection of the qualities of the Buddha. Buddha has discovered the truth and preached the Dharma so that the beings will be able to discover the truth like himself. The Buddha has innumerable qualities, and those who walk the path of Satipatthana are walking the path as discovered by the Buddha. The Buddha himself had walked this path, reached the purity of the mind, and eradicated all kilesas to the point of no return. Not only the Buddha, but also the silent Buddhas, not only the all enlightened Buddha, but also silent Buddhas and the Arahants have walked this path. So we know that this is the correct path, unavoidable path, which we need to walk, as walked by the Buddhas and the virtuous ones, so that we can reach the land of peace, namely Nibbana. So when we know that the Buddha has walked this path and discovered the truth, and he has preached the Dhamma, namely the Satipatthana Bhavana, for us to walk, to practice, so we should know what are the qualities of this distinctive personality. We need to know to some extent, whether in a little way, small way, or many ways, the qualities of this enlightened Buddha. If one has not practiced that meditation by oneself, one will not be able to accept the quality of the Buddha. One will not be able to come to the resolution that the Buddha is the all-enlightened one. So, unless we have practiced the meditation by ourselves, we will not be able to instill faith in the Buddha. Hence, we should understand the quality of the Buddha who was revealed or who was preached is Satipatthana Vipassana Bhavana. As for some of the Westerners, they may not be eager to practice this mindfulness of the Buddha, the qualities of the Buddha. But so long as they understand that since they have walked the path of Satipatthana, they are realizing the benefits of this practice. So the person who has revealed this, preached this path, must be a special person, must possess special qualities. So this much faith would be enough that this person is a distinctive person, distinctive individuality, individual. So although there may not be faith in the personal faith, faith in the person, or faith in the individual, so long as the Buddha has preached the Satipatthana Bhavana, and once you realize the benefit of the practice, by seeing the Dhamma, you are said to be seeing the Buddha. By understanding the Dhamma, you are said to be understanding the quality of the Buddha. In this way, we are not demanding those who do not have faith in the personality to practice this kind of meditation. But so long as you can have faith in your own right, this should be enough. At this point, we want to talk about the essential results as a result of the practice of Buddha Nusati, the recollection of the Buddha quality, either sitting in the practice or at other times. One should understand, or one should be able to understand, the difference between Buddha and Sasana. The Buddha, as we have discussed, discovered the truth and he made it known to others. Such is the meaning of Buddha. He himself had practiced and with great compassion preached the teachings, and such teachings are known as Sasana. And it is made up of, it is, in a sense, it is the teachings so that one's physical, verbal, mental behaviors will become blameless. Because if you leave your mind uncontrolled without practicing meditation, your mind will remain blamable, it will be blameworthy. Not only that, you will be blameworthy, but you may be harming the society at the same time. If you leave your mind uncontrolled or uncultivated, not only that, you'll be lacking the practice, sikha, there'll be no virtue in you, you will not be virtuous, you'll be harming others at the same time, causing suffering in others. Such are undesirable things. So in order to be free from such things, we undertake the practice of the three trainings, namely morality, concentration, and wisdom. Which is the practice of Satipatthana Bhavana, and such is Sasana, the Buddha's teaching. Morality, concentration, and wisdom. So to whom does it belong? It belongs to the Buddha. The Buddha has preached this Dhamma, the three trainings. Hence, it is known as Buddha Sasana, combining these two, namely, combining the Buddha and the teachings, it becomes known as Buddha Sasana, Buddha's teachings. So whoever practices one of the qualities of the Buddha, Buddha Anusati, recollection of the Buddha, one will instill faith or cultivate faith in the Buddha Sasana, Buddha's teachings. If you practice meditation on any one of the qualities of the Buddha, you will be able to cultivate faith with your own experiential knowledge. You will be able to cultivate sadda, faith and confidence. In this way, you are abstaining from committing unwholesome things which will stain or which will cause the sasana to degenerate. You will not do anything against the Buddha's teachings because you are fit in the Buddha's sasana through your own personal experience. And then there will be no blamable things by body, speech and mind. You will not commit violent actions. Instead, you will try to practice to purify your mind or to purify your behaviors so that your behaviors, my body, speech and mind, become pure, gentle and gentle. If you are free from these three things, namely raga, dosa, moha, craving, aversion and delusion, you will feel peaceful. This is the quality required by everyone, irrespective of race or nationality. So that such qualities will become, your behaviors will become affable, lovable, and you'll feel satisfied with your own behaviors. So such are the immediate benefit by having faith in the Buddha Sasana, the Buddha's teachings, so that you will not do anything unwholesome against this Buddha Sasana, Buddha's teachings. Instead, you will only work or practice towards the development of the Buddha Sasana, so that the Buddha Sasana will flourish, will prosper as much as possible. Such are the qualities of, such are the results by practicing the first quality, first of the four guardian meditations, namely Buddha Anusati, recollection of the Buddha. in a sense, you are developing human culture. If one does not know how to cultivate one's physical, verbal, mental behaviors, or if one knows one is not undertaking the practice, then one's behaviors will not become blameless. These raga, dosa, moha, craving, aversion, and delusion are blameworthy things, they're defilements. And if one is not cultivating one's behaviors, these defilements will increase more and more instead of decreasing. For instance, if one is overcome by greed, lobha, if one cannot control this, then one will be greedy both for oneself and for others, such as one's whole family and friends and so on. And this greed can be sometimes ordinary, normal greed or low-grade greed, and it can other times it can be extreme form of greed, excessive greed. And when it comes to the second defilement, namely dosa, hatred, aversion, this can be an ordinary form of aversion or an extreme form, an excessive form of anger or aversion, leading to violence. And as for the third one, namely moha, delusion, not knowing that your actions are blameworthy or blameless, you're not knowing it, you're deluded, because you're deluded, you don't know the truth, you don't understand and undertaking a task is beneficial or not, or suitable or not, and whether one should undertake, you are not aware of commission or omission, what should be omitted, what should be committed. In a sense, you are deluded, lack of clarity of your mind, your vision is said to be dim, and you are not knowing in two ways, not knowing ordinarily, not ordinary unknowing, and knowing in the wrong way. So in this way, there are two kinds of ignorance. The root cause of this non-dhamma, defilements, are these unwholesome deeds are the root cause of akusalas, unwholesome deeds. They are the root. So if the root is not proper, then the branches of that tree also will not be proper. Because the roots are made up of these three defilements, namely raga, dosa, moha, craving, aversion, and delusion, as an unwholesome root. This will give rise to unwholesome branches, leaves, and fruits in the form of unwholesome deeds by body, speech, and mind, so that they become dangerous and harmful. And as such, they are said to be burning, undermining elements. They are despicable elements. And they are of three stages. The first stage is the transgressive form of defilements, known as vidagama kilesa. The second stage is obsessive kind of defilement, known as pariyotana kilesa. And the third kind is the latent tendencies of defilements known as anusya kilesa. In this way there are three stages or three kinds. And there are three kinds of training, namely sila, samadhi, pinya, morality, concentration and wisdom, in order to overcome these three stages of three respective stages of defilements. Namely, with the practice of morality, sila, one can overcome the the transgressive form of defilements, vidagama kilesa. For the practice of concentration, samadhi, we can overcome the obsessive kind of defilements, known as pariyutana kilesa. And with the cultivation of wisdom, penya, we can overcome the latent tendencies of defilements and even eradicate them to the point of no return. So this way, three kinds of training are being shown or given in order to overcome three kinds of defilements. And such are the teachings of the Buddha, the teachings of Sasana, and because the Buddha has taught these teachings, it becomes known as Buddha Sasana, the Buddha's teachings. In this way, the three kinds of defilements are overcome by three kinds of trainings. Now, this is how it works. With the Silasika, the training of virtue or morality training, we overcome the first kind of defilements, namely the transgressive form of defilements, by abstaining from doing it and taking vows of practice, of precepts, not to commit these things. Let us say, when it comes to killing of animals, killing of living things, we say, we take vows of precepts, namely Paradipata, abstaining from killing living things. So, not only mentally, but when it comes to killing, you abstain from killing. Because you have taken the vows of practice, vows of precepts. Just like trying to avoid or not going to places where the infectious diseases are prevalent. You abstain from going there because you don't want to be contracted, infected with a disease. So also you abstain from killing living things. And it's in this way you practice this morality training. As for the second one, namely obsessive defilements, it is overcome by concentration training or concentration group, samadhi khanda, by noting every arising of the six sense doors. We note every object which comes into the six sense doors as it arises. Because if we don't do that, if we are not mindful of every arising of the six sense doors, then there will be likes and dislikes about desirable and undesirable things. And in respect of true nature of things, if you're not knowing the truth, you'll be overcome by delusion, you become deluded, moha. So if you are not able to control yourself, if you're not able to protect your mind with practice of mindfulness, your mind will remain uncontrolled about these desirable and undesirable objects. So all these defilements which can arise when you are not mindful will be overcome, your mind will be protected with the practice of mindfulness, sati. By noting these objects, you're said to be protecting your mind and not allowing these desirable, undesirable elements, objects to arise in the stream of consciousness. So in this way, you overcome these obsessive defilements with the practice of concentration. And going beyond that, you practice the practice of wisdom in order to overcome latent tendencies, which cannot be overcome by just the practice of morality and concentration. Because this has been with us all along our lifetimes, so this can only be overcome with the practice of wisdom, such as vipassana penya, insight knowledge or insight wisdom, first gradually weakening these defilements, latent tendencies, and later eradicating them. At the maturity of your insight knowledge, with the realization of the path consciousness of the noble ones, you eradicate them. And with path consciousness, nega, you eradicate. And with Allah, the fruit of the path, you extinguish them. In this way, you overcome, you eradicate and extinguish these latent tendencies with the practice of wisdom training, which have been latent tendencies which have been with us all along our lifetimes. As for the Buddha, with the realization of the Arhata Magga, he was able to eradicate all kilesas to the point of Nirodhan, and realizing this Asavakya Jnana, the knowledge of the eradication, extinction of all defilements. And when he was eradicating kilesas, moha, the delusion, also was eradicated, so that he was able to know all knowable things with omniscient knowledge, sarvajnana jnana. And he was possessed of the basic quality, especially the mahakaruna, the great compassionate feeling, the great compassion. So that he was this kind of quality is given as vichasarana, sampanna, endowed with virtuous conduct, especially the quality of mahakaruna, great compassion. In order to cultivate wisdom, one cannot cultivate wisdom without the practice of conduct. Sarana. Buddha himself has practiced the basic 15 kinds of conduct, sarana. If one possesses wisdom, knowledge, but if one does not possess sarana, conduct, then one will not possess karuna, compassion, so that one will not be able to protect others, or to preach others, to liberate others, because one lacks karuna, compassion. So, as for the Buddha, if the Buddha possesses both wisdom and conduct, now if one does not possess conduct, one will not be able to possess karuna, compassionate feeling, to help others, to liberate others, not to mention if one does not possess wisdom. Now as for the sarana, the basic sarana possessed by the Buddha, out of this, the karuna is most important, especially the karuna, compassionate feeling. So both these things, vijja and sarana, wisdom and conduct, are essential if one is going to liberate or teach and liberate others. Hence it is said, with wisdom, one protects others. And with compassionate feeling, one protects oneself. In the case of Buddha, he possesses both wisdom and conduct, especially mahakaruna, great compassionate feeling. So if one possesses both vijja-sarana, wisdom and conduct, then one is bound to have compassionate feeling to help others, to liberate others, and one will wish to protect others, look after others, so that the others will realize the benefit of the practice. And those who possess, and one who possesses these two things, qualities, will have good disciples, and hence it is quite realistic that such a person possesses Vichaya-sarana-sampanno. So such are the quality possessed by the Buddha, namely Vichaya-sarana-sampanno. And the Buddha possesses the sabbhi-yudha-jñāna, omniscient knowledge, by which he knows what is beneficial and what is not beneficial, so that he was able to help others, liberate others with mahā-karuṇā, great compassion, so that he can send, can benefit others. So that there are no bad disciples in those days, there are only good disciples. During the Buddha's time, there are innumerable numbers, unaccountable numbers of disciples who have realized beauty and nobleness, become pure and noble individuals. And the Buddha has given this Dhamma Vinaya, Dhamma doctrine, or doctrine discipline, in an exact and correct manner, in a proportionate manner, so that whoever practices this doctrine discipline, Dhamma Vinaya, are bound to realize the benefit of the practice. And such are the quality of the Buddha, and to realize, to become pure and noble, the Satipatthana practice gives assurance. At this point, there has been argument about this saving and individual liberation, that is, saving others, which is the priority. One should we save others, or should we just practice for individual liberation? Or should we do both at the same time? Some would give priority to saving others, helping others, and they criticize those who practice for individual liberation as being selfish. So without wisdom and compassion, how can we save others? We cannot give priority to save others. If we don't possess these two qualities, dual qualities, then we will not be able to help others. If one of the two qualities is lacking, also one will not be able to help others. For instance, if one possesses wisdom but no compassion, one will not have compassion to help others. And if, on the other hand, if one possesses compassion but no wisdom, then one will not know how to help others. So wisdom and compassion are dual qualities which are required to help oneself and save others, or whether one should practice for one's own individual liberation, or help others only, or do both. This kind of discussion will be made tomorrow. That's all for today.